Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com. You wanna be down with the kids?
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
It's Lance and Dell. I'm back in studio from my trip to Mobile, Alabama. And yesterday, I did not go out to practice. I was writing up prospects in my hotel room before getting on a plane, sitting next to the biggest douchebag agent that I've ever come in contact with. And then I found out a lot of stuff about him. I was like, oh, yeah, this is the kind of stuff that a guy like this would do just in my short time. But was sick. At one point, he goes, what is this, man, 20 questions? I'm trying to work here.
What's he doing?
You're loud. He was loud talking on the phone. Like, we're waiting on the tarmac. And he's, yeah, bro. That's right, dog. No, you made so much money this week. We're going to shut you down. You made so much. And that's how loud. He goes, he's on the phone with his guy. I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you during the break who it was. You made so much money this week, dog. Don't even worry about it. We're going to shut you down. You got a little hammy? We'll get you taken care of, dog.
Don't worry about it. One of the prospects he's talking about.
Yeah, he's talking to his prospect. You made so much money this week, which this guy did not make so much money.
Okay.
Daniel Jeremiah told me, like, I honestly did not know that this guy was out there. I didn't say. He goes, are you sure he was at practice Wednesday? I said, yes. I was on the field watching him in a certain drill. And so anyway, he got off the phone after loud talking to show everyone on the – and he's one of these hype beasts, right? He has these – $900 Jordans on these with the gold. I don't even know how much they go for. The Jordans, they're white, all white with a gold, like, they're gold late, gold trimmed. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just on the heel. And, but I know I've seen them before where they're really expensive. So he had that. He had the super tight shirt on, nicely coiffed, you know, with a perfectly trimmed goatee. Mm-hmm. He had, I mean, you could tell he was probably testosterone'd up. He had the face, you could tell he's done microdermabrasions and some Botox stuff, keep it where it needs to be, because he's a little older now.
Okay.
But he had the hype beast look. And to a T, Gucci bag. I mean, you know, everything that you would expect.
So a younger version of John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, but really, like,
turned up though.
Yeah, but it was turned up. Yeah, but yes, like, yeah, kind of.
If John
like
had gotten to the game earlier, that's what John would look like.
Yeah, 100%. If Wendy had gotten him to the game in his 20s, because this guy's been a hype beast for a while, I found out. So anyway, I just like, and this is literally standard stuff. He gets off the phone. I said, who do you have in the game? And he just looks at me and kind of ignores me. And he had talked to me previously, like when he got on. And I'm just trying to, you know, I just figure we'll talk about something, a similar thing. I'll just, you know, we'll talk about his player. And he didn't say anything. So I don't know if he can hear me because he's got an earbud in his left ear. And he goes, and I said, what's your name? He goes, what is this, man? 20 questions? Come on. I'm trying to work. I said, no, I get it. I'm in the business. He goes, yeah, what? I'm trying to work here.
Did you
man.
Inform him?
I'm trying to work.
At your NFL.com/Zierlein?
No, I didn't say anything. And so I did tell his partners, like, oh, dude, I know. Because I told his partner, because a good friend of mine who is is real good for he goes, you got to meet his partner is an awesome dude. So I just said hi to him. And he goes, oh, did you meet this guy? And, you know, he said his name. I'm like, no, he was too much of an a-hole. I said, yeah, I tried to ask who you guys have and, you know, all that stuff. But and I told him what he said. He's like, oh, man, I'm sorry. And then I found out from my guy. He's like, yeah, he probably would have done that to you even if you were director of personnel, assistant GM. He's that kind of guy. Like, he just doesn't. He's that kind of guy. And then I found out other stuff about
him. See, let's turn this and make it about me. Because you give me crap for being not fake in my mannerisms.
Right.
Or with my manners, because I don't subscribe to...
Sometimes you're too real. You have to learn how to play the game, Dell, where you go, hey, how you doing?
No, I don't...
Oh, man, it's great to see you.
I don't subscribe to being... Give hugs is aggressive. I don't subscribe to being fake.
When's the last hug you gave somebody? A man.
I mean, I got hug banged at Nick's.
That should not be a word you ever use. Hug bang.
That's what happened. I was aggressive.
I told people on the air to do that.
I know
that.
And it occurred at Nick's, so that's the last
hug
time.
Hug banged isn't a good, like.
Sorry. I don't know what else to describe it when, like, eight people come up and hug me.
You got hug banged.
Forcefully,
okay.
Yeah. I got hug banged at Nick's, so that's the last time.
But did you give them back?
No, I tucked my arms to protect myself. Like,
that's what I thought.
Like a bear was attacking me. But, so. You have taken issue with my, I guess, inability to be fake to people.
No. Your inability to feel and care.
I can feel things. I just choose not to.
Have you ever seen the show Dexter?
No. I know what it is, but I haven't even seen maybe
Dexter
a full episode.
Dexter doesn't have, and it's classic.
Are you comparing me to Dexter?
Well, I'm just saying, it's classic of sociopaths. Not all sociopaths are killers, but it's classic for sociopaths and obviously serial killers, but... to not be able to feel, like, you just can't
feel
have human emotion.
I have human emotions. My human emotion is indifference.
Yeah, but that was kind of Dexter too. But he learned to pretend. You should learn to pretend just like Dexter.
Maybe Dexter started.
And he did better as the season.
Maybe
went along.
Dexter started learning to pretend, and that's what led him to kill people because he had to be a phony.
Well, he had to be a phony because he was killing people, and he had to protect.
So chicken
himself.
Or the egg in this?
Yeah,
case?
In a way. But I just think that if you would learn to. You know, maybe just pretend better. You could get away with being what some people would diagnose as a sociopath.
But have I ever been that way to you when I'm like, yeah. I don't do that to people.
No.
I don't have that energy about me.
No. Well, you give it off. You don't say it, but you can just see in your face when you got that energy.
But if someone asks, if you...
No, you're not rude like that. This guy was just an a-hole. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay. And I know who his player is. And I put money in his player's pocket. So... Literally with an NIL deal, so I'm not. But it's not. Not anyone with Houston. So I'm like, okay.
I just want to point out that there are levels to this, and my indifference isn't the same as this guy's blatant debaggery.
No, but do you go there? Do you take, like, that guy didn't take shots by playing sound bites that made us look bad?
Well, that's entertainment.
Like, he didn't
for
play
the show.
Sound bites,
but that's for the show. Like, if I wasn't doing this, I wouldn't go out of my
where I say I want that glory hole or whatever. Remember that one that you
no,
say?
No, that's not what you say. It's I'm all about that. You don't say I want that. You say I'm all. I guess you say you're.
See, you know exactly what the sound bite is
because I played it a lot. No, but that's my job to entertain it and maybe bring you down a peg. I don't know, but if in the context of in
classic
of a plane, no, it's not. In the context of being on a plane and having a conversation, if you approached me, if I was in the world of being an agent, if you asked me some questions, I wouldn't be like, hey, what is this, 20 questions? I wouldn't do that to you.
Yeah, dude just literally goes, what is this, 20 questions?
I wouldn't
man?
Do that.
He goes, I'm trying to work here. I'm trying to work here. We're literally like, we were literally flying. And then he got upset because there was no Wi-Fi on the plane because he couldn't work. You know, he couldn't text a bunch of important clients.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's jumped from like, they say like 8 agencies in the last 10 years because he always burns bridges and owes people money. So.
Sounds it.
Yeah, it didn't shock me when I found out. But his partner's a cool guy. So.
Well, he doesn't have great company along with him. That sound-
he sent me a text like, hey, I want to apologize for my partner.
When you have to apologize for someone.
That's probably not
you
great.
You probably need to disassociate
I do that with John, though. Sometime I'm like, I'm sorry he said those offensive things.
John, RJ booked a guest. It was Ari Mayroff.
Who's for some reason has like 400,000 followers.
He's kind of an
I've
aggregator. He's an aggregator of like news. Like if I think he works for PFF, but if there's he just is there to centralize NFL news. So John,
is that what he does?
I don't know what he does for PFF, But I think that's what his Twitter account is. If you want NFL news, just follow him. You don't even have to follow anyone else because he'll just retweet. But he will or write it in his own words. But he will give credit to where it came from. So RJ brings him on just to talk about the NFL news of the day. And John says something along the lines of, "Man, you're just copy and paste." And I had to quickly scramble to kind of soften what John
said. Really?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Well, no, aggregators, John, they typically will take the news, but they always have their own.
Yeah, I kind of softened it because I kind of heard it like something catching Ari's speech, and I'm like, well, I didn't do that. I wasn't as clear like that, but I kind of like jumped in and was like, well, Ari does this. And so that's kind of how I apologize
for John.
You
kind of have to walk around like – it's just like – you know, there's. I think everyone, when they get to a certain age, they become less. They don't care. Like John is not.
When
cared
did he
for quite,
ever care?
No, that's what I mean. He's never really cared, but every once in a while he would care. Now I think you have to just walk around with him and just say he didn't mean that the way it sounded. Like you have to, you know, in a perfect world, somebody would be able to come by and say he didn't. That's not what he meant. I know when he does the dark meat thing. Yeah, that's not. I don't want you. I know you're just started listening to the show 2 days ago, and you think how in the world could someone say that? That's his bit. This is his shtick where he pretends like he's with every community. He's with the Asian community, the Black community, and he says that just because he has a neighbor and people let him do this. Yeah.
He's been doing it for years.
Yeah,
we understand.
We call him Teflon John.
Yeah. Oh, let me give Ari some credit. He's with the 33rdteam.com, so he's not. I thought he was with PFF. What? He was, but now he's with the 33rdteam.com, has the Ari Mayeral show. I just remember going, oh, that sounded bad. Let me kind of jump in to.
So all you do is copy and paste other people's work.
Yeah, pretty much. That was the tone.
That's how pro football talk got started.
He wasn't as aggressive like that, but you just kind of, you got all these followers and you're just copying and pasting. I was like, oh boy, how do I soften that?
Because you know that's probably something that they've heard before.
I'm sure he has. But Ari does have a big following.
Can I tell you a little secret, though?
Sure.
That's why people like John.
I know.
Because he has no filter.
People do love him for that. But when you are sitting across from him.
The warehouse loves the fact that John has no filter.
Because that's what they do. They're always cutting people up and taking their shots. They call in and do that here. They were kind of the forerunners and the guys who carried Throw Shade Thursday on their backs. So I get it. I get why he's liked. I just know when RJ does the work to book a guest, and maybe RJ might want to book that guest again at some point, I got to kind of slide in and go, well, the copy and paste, maybe that's not the best way to phrase what he does.
Well, no, John, it's aggregating. It's different.
Yeah.
It's not super different, but
it's not
different.
That much different.
All they do is change the wording and then try to get the clicks for it.
The interactions,
And then they'll put a link in their stuff to your work if it's an article, but in Twitter you don't have to.
Not at all.
Yeah. So he's John's got a point.
John is taking some crap today, but you don't slide by either.
Why? What happened?
What happened is, RJ, you remember about maybe three quarters of the way through the show, Lance mentioned bringing steaks for us?
Oh, crap.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to the steaks, Lance?
Okay, now this is on you.
How?
Because I forget things pretty easily. You know that. I leave things on planes. I leave things in cabs. I leave things at the house. My wife had to bring the phone out to me when I was leaving today. So if you would have just reminded me, hey, don't forget those steaks, I would have cooked them three quarters last night and then finished them this morning. But you didn't remind me when I got in. My wife was at a concert last night. It was me and the kids, which obviously that's, you know, I had to get to my room and start watching a show or something.
Locking
as quickly
the door
as I could.
And hiding.
Yeah, and just spending the time with my dogs. So I had a lot of stuff going on. All you had to do was send me one text, and you know that I'm forgetful. All you had to do was send one text, and it would have happened.
This is where my personality traits come in, because I'm indifferent to you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about you at all. So it didn't even cross my mind to go, oh, what about those steaks? Because I don't think about you. So you can't expect a person who doesn't even think about you to remember you promised steaks. You promised them.
You remembered it this morning before the show even started.
Well, because I didn't see them. I was like, oh, yeah. Because I was actually thinking about lunch today. What am I going to do? Am I going to make some chicken, throw it in a salad or something? And then I realized, oh yeah, we're having steak, so I can push that back to tomorrow.
I'm gonna get us some bread. I'm gonna see if Michael from Pete's.
Now you're putting the pressure on Michael.
Well, it probably won't be steaks, but it'll be breakfast tacos.
I don't object.
Yeah, I'm gonna get him to bring us some food. You know, so in the world of Houston sports, not a lot went down yesterday that I know of. I take it back. I mean, it was the official press conference.
D'Amico Day was yesterday.
And I guess I didn't. I was on the plane, and you guys, the Glory Boys, and yes, that's our text string. It's still the Glory Boys.
There's a new picture for the Glory Boys.
I saw it's Cal throwing the H. But you guys were talking about all the former Texans. So when we come back, we're going to hear from D'Amico Ryans, and I guess it was a Texans, like. Is there such things as Texans legends? Like,
well, that was the discussion in the chat. Can you be a Texans legend? You can be a really good player, but...
You could be a teammate of his.
Yeah, you can be someone who was...
We have a small ring of honor here.
Yeah, and don't you have to actually do legendary things to be a legend? Like, legendary things mean winning.
I want you to tell me when we come back, because I was on a plane, getting yelled at by an agent. I need to find out who was up there on the dais, who was standing there next to D'Amico Ryans. I want you to paint the picture of what it looked like, who it was, all that when we come back. It's 7:14 here on the bench. Our phone number, if you want to jump in, 713, as always, at any time during the show. Although we do have Mike Tannenbaum at 7:30, and we have Jeff Van Gundy at 8:30. So looking forward to those guys. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Texas Custom Patios is where I watch games. My son Sebastian loves to go out there. He'll turn on YouTube, like football highlights, and go take the football and throw it around the yard and turns the volume up. The volume's in the we got a sound system. It's one of the things they do for you is when you install, if you're going to have an outdoor living space built, you want to have the big screen TV out there. You want to have a sound system in your gabled roof, which gives you a lot more, it's pitched, so it's going to be higher. It gives you more space. A better feel for a lot of space, which is what you want. And outdoor kitchens, they do outdoor kitchens as well in your outdoor living spaces. And it can be infrared grills, cooktops. There's so many different a variety of things that they have. They build out the vent hood for you. And it's really amazing. Sitting areas where you can accommodate your guests, your friends, whoever it's going to be. Wouldn't you love to have some outdoor oasis where you get to spend your time and hang out? It's going to start to warm up over the weekend. It's going to be amazing patio weather, and I can't wait to spend time out there. Swimming pools, they're doing that now as well. TexasCustomPatios.com. Go look at the before and after, and you can see what your life could become with TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
I think we got the joke that we needed. Like I said, even D'Amico said, Nick said it. It's still a lot of work to do. But, it's an exciting day today. So we enjoy today. But, I'm sure they'll get back to work tomorrow and, get things headed in the right direction.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
That's Fat Pat and Andre Johnson at the same time, and somewhere Cal's throwing up an H. So that's about as Houston as it gets right there. Fat Pat, Andre Johnson from the 2003 draft class, and then Cal throwing up an H.
Well, Cal did
go to Houston as he gets.
Cal did go to Rice, and we know Rice is the epitome of Houston.
Yep. When I think of the city of Houston, I think Rice.
Yep. All those Northerners come here to go to school.
Quick question. Is Andre Johnson the Texans Bagwell? Like, Jeff is in with, he's the literally the face and voice of the Texans now. Unless maybe Dana Brown is going to take over that, which he should. He's the general manager, and Dusty's the manager. We really shouldn't hear from Bagwell that often anymore now that there's a GM. But is Andre Johnson the player from the past that comes back and is now involved with the organization? He's come back and been more involved now that Jack Easterby's been gone. And
It depends on how much sway he has. Was he on one of the committees at any point to pick a coach?
Yes, I think he was. The one that they ignored?
Yes, that one. That one specifically.
I think he was. I think Andre was on that. I think it was Andre, Jimmy Johnson, Fat Pat.
Tony Dungy. Tony said, no, it wasn't me. I wasn't involved.
Yeah, he didn't say that. Chameleonaire, Paul Wall.
Paul Wall wasn't involved.
I think he was. Johnny Dang.
And Trey the Truth had to be there too, right?
Yeah, you got to have him. Bun was on there. And then you also had probably John Weeks, even though, because he's been there for 22 years, so, or 20 years. So you got to let him have a pick. We know who wasn't there, Deshaun Watson.
Well, he's a Brown, so why would he be there?
No, to pick the first coach. Remember, he was mad that he didn't get to pick everybody. And then it'd be really cool if Deshaun picked all the GM and the head coach. And then
I'm not sure.
And then he, like, I don't want to be here later for you.
Well, we know he doesn't make great decisions on the field.
Some problematic decision making.
Even on the field. If we watch this year, it's not great.
It was, he's got people in Cleveland nervous. People in Houston are not nervous right now.
I was going to tell you a story. When I and this place parted ways back in March, I was you send applications and resumes out, and one in a place in Cleveland saw my application, said, "Hey, we've got an opening for a night show. We're just trying to figure out who could do this job, and you're out of town. So what do you know about Houston, Cleveland sports?" And I was like, "Well, I go through the spiel to try to let them know I've actually done some research." And then they say, "Okay, tell us about Deshaun Watson. And what if the topic was the acquiring of Deshaun Watson and all the things that have come with it, what would you say on your first show, considering you've been in Houston for a while?" And I was like, "Well,
this is where not telling the truth helps."
Well,
I told you.
I kind of told the truth.
See?
I said, but I didn't talk about, but I did not talk about the off the field stuff because as a Cleveland radio station, they've probably had to go through that already. So all I did was talk about the on the field stuff. And I kind of said, "Well, if you think he's your savior, you're wrong. Because despite what you saw from the outs," I went through all the things that are sometimes issues with Deshaun.
Yeah.
And at the end of that, he goes, "Well, but you do think they had to make that decision, right? Because they couldn't go on with Baker." I was like, "Yeah, sure." But I just said,
you sensed already that your honesty was a problem. And this is what I've been telling you. You can't be honest sometimes. You have to trick people.
But I told them,
Dexter.
I just told them, if you think that man's going to come in and elevate everyone around him and save you, you don't have the right guy. He's not that guy.
He is that guy. Like, there's moments he's that guy.
Sure.
There's games.
Yes.
But he's not that, he's not that guy. It's easy to say that now because he's been out of football. He's out of football for 2 years. Last year was one of them. But for the better part of 2 years, he is out of football. Yeah, I mean, it's not great. It's not great. But we'll see. Maybe he's going to be better. They are nervous there. Houston is not nervous right now. There is a level of excitement but that's literally all we're talking about is excitement, excitement, excitement. That's great. At some point, you know, the football has to happen, and D'Amico has got to start getting guys. He's got to start making guys better. But one of the big questions that surrounded D'Amico Ryans, and frankly, we had – who was our guest? Jay Williams said his perception of Houston kind of changed. And I think this is for a lot of people, actually. When D'Amico Ryans, one of the hottest coaching prospects, and because there was a lot of people who made it a racial deal because the two – one-and-done coaches were black. There was Stephen A. Smith said, no black coach should ever go to Houston or whatever. Well, the coach who was going to be hired before David Culley was Jim Caldwell, who's also black. Jim Caldwell was going to be Omar Khan's choice to be head coach. I got that straight from the horse's mouth. And Jim Caldwell is also a black coach. So that's really not an issue with Houston. But a lot of people, because D'Amico Ryans chose the Texans, I think a lot of people – are questioning maybe what the vantage point of the organization is now. Like, maybe it's a little bit more positive. And D'Amico talked about why he chose Houston as his first head coaching job.
When I look at this organization and all of the great men who've come before me to lead, right, this organization, all of the great head coaches who have been here, right, it's an honor just to follow those men. Right, a lot of great men, and when I look at this job and this opportunity, right, I look at it as how are we going to move forward, right? What do the young players that we have? That's what it's about, right? The draft capital we have, we're excited about that. We're excited to give our fans something to be excited about, to fill the stadium up. But we know we have a lot of work to do, and we're excited now, but we have to win. right? And that's, we want to build the right staff. We want to get the right players so we can go out and win and compete. That's when the excitement continues, and that's what we want to bring here.
DeMeco, are you excited about any of the guys you actually have on your roster?
That's what excites me the most, is being able to work with young guys and young guys who are talented. Stingley has outstanding talent, scouted him the last year, and I know the talent that he has, know the competitor that he is, right? Going to put him in position to make a lot of plays for us, right? Put him in a position where he can excel and showcase his talents, right? Seeing Jalen Petrie, loved him coming out of Baylor, loved the blitzing, loved the just the play speed of Petrie, and just to see him come out this past year and the way, five interceptions, the way he attacked the ball, man, Jalen, we got to continue to do that, right? We got to continue to take the ball away. Christian, linebacker, fast, right? Physical linebacker. Those are the type of players, right, we can build around. So that does excite me when you have the young talent that we have here. That does excite me.
As you see, there's still some thoughts that Jack is involved with this team. He talked about a Christian linebacker.
No, that was Christian Harris.
Well,
he didn't go, he's Christian and he's fast. He didn't say he's Christian and he's fast and physical. He said Christian.
He didn't say that Christian linebacker?
No, he didn't say he's a Christian and he's fast and physical.
You think he meant Christian Harris and not just the religion of Christian Kirksey, maybe? Maybe he's talking about Christian Kirksey. I don't think so.
Unlikely.
I feel like after watching the games, he's more likely talking Christian Harris than Christian Kirksey. I'm going to go into something positive about
after, that. After what? All of us are watching the games. I would imagine he doesn't mention Christian Kirksey again.
No, I'm not sure they're going to mention him at all during the year when it comes to mentioning the roster.
It's unlikely.
Based on what I saw.
Well, we're talking about building a roster. We have a guest coming up who built multiple rosters in
yeah,
the NFL.
Mike Tannenbaum is going to join us when we come back. He is with 33rd Team now, which is a great organization, really kind of a think tank of football. And he's also on ESPN. So we'll get with Mike Tannenbaum coming up in just a second. I want to tell you about Allstate Windows and Siding. I want to focus on siding here. We talk about windows a lot, but they're doing great siding work. They use the Hardy Plank siding. And what that is if I know you've heard the name before, but maybe you have wood in your house and somewhere and it's dilapidated. Hardy Plank is extraordinarily rugged. It is built to withstand really all the elements, whether it's the humidity that can do so much damage, or the rain, the wind, the extreme heat. You know, that can really do a number on wood. And you see it in your fence all the time. Well, not with the Hardy Plank. And you can, you know, you're not going to have to do all the painting. You're not going to have to do, there's not going to be paint chipping off of there. You're not going to see the dilapidated areas at near the bottom of the Hardy Plank. That's not going to happen. This is really extremely rugged. It helps with energy efficiency. It makes your house look beautiful. And they are giving you a deep discount. When you do a complete siding job on your home, they're going to drop that price low, low, if you mention that you heard it from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, of course, for windows, they're incredible. You can find all their window products online as well at Allstate Windows and Siding, or just give them a call at 832-204-1936.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
John will be back on Monday. Joining me for the entire week has been Del Olale, and joining us right now is Mike Tannenbaum, the former general manager of the Jets. He was on a guy who was on the earlier days of Hard Knocks. We got to see the inner workings of the Jets. He is on ESPN. You can see him all the time. One of the guys for 33rd Team, which is a great NFL think tank that I think is going to continue to get bigger and better. They've added some really great people over the last year, including an old editor of mine, Andy Fenelon, who was over at NFL.com. And joining us right now is Mike Tannenbaum. We're going to talk some team building. We're going to talk some Super Bowl. Mike, thanks for joining us. First of all, making time for us. It's Lance Zierlein, Del Olale here. Off the bat, your thoughts on DeMeco Ryans and where the Texans may be headed now. We know it starts in the front office. You have to have a functional front office to get things done or keep make a sustain, you know, have it sustainable. And you know what a mess it's been in Houston for quite a while now. Can a head coach be a stabilizing factor?
Yeah, great to be with you guys. Absolutely. And, you know, D'Amico Ryans is a guy that's had success as a player and as a coordinator. So that bodes well for Houston. You know, obviously there was concern in the marketplace when you have, you know, three head coaches in 3 years. And I think that's the right word, stabilizing. And I think this organization needs to get behind it, D'Amico Ryans, and then evaluate your own correctly and then make the right decision on the quarterback and then give it time. And sometimes progress shows up in wins and losses early on, but sometimes it shows up in the right culture. And hopefully, you know, they give him time to do it the right way.
Yeah, and that's the, one of my only concerns I have is because Houston's had three consecutive really poor seasons, four wins, three wins. You know, it is you can't worry about results early on. You have to worry about process. And I think the problem is D'Amico is going to step into – now, the good thing is there's a huge honeymoon period for him. But there's been 3 years where process has been stagnated, so there has not really been a lot of progress. But the process, as you mentioned, Mike, I mean, there is a process that must take place, and it cannot be shortcutted if you want to have a sustainable winner.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You can't leave. You have to be your own toughest critic, you know. Why would you take Derek Stingley over Sauce Gardner? Derek Stingley was hurt in college. He got hurt in the pros. Like, you know, you got to really ask yourself meaningful questions like, how did we get here? You know, are we a place where coaches and players want to come? Like, do we treat people the best in class? Are we growing and developing? You know, those are things that, as an organization, you got to be honest with yourself and really see how you can improve. Because, you know, the Houston Texans used to be a great organization. Competed against them for many years. They were, you know, well-run, good teams, playoff teams, and, you know, it's been tough times there. And again, it starts with asking yourself very difficult questions and saying, like, how can we get better? How can we improve?
Mike, you spent the better part of two decades trying to build a team to beat a giant, the Patriots, and with Tom Brady. You did it with the Jets and then later on with the Dolphins. There is not exactly that type of team in this division with the Texans. Does that change the way team building goes because you're not chasing anyone? You're just trying to establish an identity?
I think it's more about, like, sustainability and having, you know, very, like, ironclad alignment on how we're going to do this, what's important, you know, what positions do we have to have, which ones are nice to have. So those are things that you need very, like, fundamental alignment on. And if you do that, you could certainly set the bar for the division yourself.
I'm really interested in Adam Peters, who's the assistant general manager. It's Adam Peters, right? The assistant GM with San Francisco 49ers. So D'Amico comes into a team with Nick Caserio in place, but Nick Caserio made a comment about 3 weeks ago, Mike, where he said, hey, when they were looking for a head coach, he said, hey, you know, I fully am backing the McNairs, backing this organization. If that means I have to do this, if I means I have to, you know, take a step back, I'm willing to do that. And I think it what it did was it created a lot of discussion about whether or not if D'Amico Ryans was the guy, he would bring the assistant GM from the 49ers. How difficult do you think this is going to be for I think Caserio's a pro, D'Amico's a pro, but it is going to be Caserio's approach to finding players and to help Lovie Smith, for example. Now he's going to a system. He goes from a one-gapping even front to potentially a two-gapping odd front. This is going to be a completely different type of player he may be looking at in some regards.
Yeah, and I've been through those transitions. That's certainly something you can work through. Again, you need to have a good process, good communication, and you know you want to have a very good understanding from your head coach what you're looking for in each position, you know, what the critical factors are. So that's certainly something you can work through.
Mike Tannenbaum is our guest from 33rd Team and also from ESPN. So, Mike, when you take a look at already what you're already taking a look at some of the quarterbacks and some of the players, have you had a chance to look at the quarterbacks yet? Are you, in terms of the college quarterbacks, is that still down the road for you?
No, I have a pretty good understanding of them.
Okay. You're a guy who came from a system traits are very, very important, right? And exceptions versus standards. Where do you come out on Bryce Young in terms of the value of going 1-1 if a team traded up, or 1-2 for the Houston Texans on a guy who falls so far below those standards?
Yeah, I like him. I'm a believer in him. Okay. I think Dan Orlovsky, my teammate at ESPN, was the first to say, you know, the Steph Curry example. I've met Bryce. Candidly, it's hard not to love him. He has great accuracy, great anticipation. I think he's going to be a really good player for a long time.
How do you assess risk in terms of, we talk about Bryce, we see the production, we hear about the kid, as opposed to potential when you're talking about maybe an Anthony Richardson, because that's a name I've heard quite a bit about. Is that a clear boomer bust when you're evaluating a quarterback like that? What are you looking at if you're going to elevate him when you have a first-round pick to take him high?
Yeah, it's like, I think in Bryce's case, it's all going to be about, hey, is there going to be sustainability? You know, can he stay healthy for 17 games? And we kept track of it. I forgot what the final number is, but I want to say there was like 67 or 68 different quarterbacks that started this year.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of the discussion. Obviously, you know, that applies for Bryce Young, but it also applies for countless other quarterbacks. And, you know, again, you go back to Derek Stingley a year ago, like, guys that are hurt in college typically over time are the ones that get hurt, you know, in the NFL.
And Daniel Jeremiah and I were going over this yesterday and a little bit at Senior Bowl. This is a strange year. Like, small quarter, we're going to have two quarterbacks drafted who are under 200 pounds, at least two, with Stetson Bennett and Bryce Young. That's like unheard of. We look at the wide receivers. Some of the best wide receivers in this draft are 170 in the 170 pound range. Like, this is, I don't know. I don't know if it's just the league is trending to being forced to look outside of their standards and norms at the position, but a lot, Zay Flowers, Josh Downs, Tank Dell, these guys are all under 180 pounds. This is, I don't know, it's a strange year. There's a really talented pass rusher who's 280 pounds out of Pitt, a defensive lineman who is extremely explosive and quick. It's just, it's a strange year where the norms and standards are being stretched. And I think some of the things in college, you know, where they look at things differently, a lot of times it's a trickle up, Mike. I wonder if that's going to have some of that same effect when it comes to evaluating players outside of the size standards that we're used to.
Yeah, that's a good point. And look, the game's changing, we know that. But over time, you know, the bigger man will win and stay healthier than the smaller guy. That's just the facts and the data. It's a good point. There's always exceptions. I really take the exception in the fourth or the fifth round than in, you know, the first or the second round.
Yeah, I mean, that's typically how it goes. It'll be interesting to see how it works, because Tutu Atwell was an early pick, and I mean, that has not worked out for the Rams, and he was another smaller guy. It was a wide receiver from Memphis. I always forget his last name, who was drafted. Really tough kid. Tough guy. And Calvin Austin, and he was drafted in the third round, had injury issues with the Steelers, and talked to Omar Khan about it. He's like, we love him. He just, little guys get hurt. And so, you know, that's always going to be the concern. It's still it's gotten more physical, more injuries. And yet some of the players are getting smaller at different positions. Mike, before we let you go, thoughts on, we won't be able to talk to you about the Super Bowl. How excited are you about this matchup of quarterbacks? I know that there's still a high ankle sprain to get through for Mahomes, and that doesn't just heal in a couple weeks. But what we saw from him last week, man, wow. Is it Jordan flu game? I don't know. But that was, I don't know if people realize how hard it is to play on a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look, you're looking at probably the two best teams in the league this year. Certainly Philadelphia has been the class of the NFC for, you know, all the season, most of it. And look, Patrick Mahomes is a great equalizer, you know. Using Michael Jordan as an analogy may be appropriate, not just from a flu standpoint, but from a talent and ability standpoint. So it should be a great game. I expect it to be a one-score game late into the fourth quarter.
That's how I see it. Mike, thanks for joining us. We know you're traveling. We appreciate you carving out some time for us.
All right. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
All right. That's Mike Tannenbaum from 33rd Team and from ESPN. We're going to break it here. John Daspit is doing a lot of great things for people around the state of Texas when it comes to helping them fight back against insurance companies and the lawyers for insurance companies who are looking to really tamp down and squash and squeeze the money you should have coming to you for your hospital bills, for your pain and suffering, for your physical therapy, for time missed at work. There are a lot of people who get hurt. They don't know who to turn to. They try to just let the process work itself out. and the lawyers for the insurance companies, because they've been hurt through no, you know, fault of their own, someone else's negligence. The insurance companies end up squeezing so hard that, you know, you end up coming out of your own pocket in some cases for some of the money. And that should never be the case. If you've been injured, it could be a car wreck, it could be 18-wheeler, it could be, you know, refinery blasts. He does a lot of those. It could be anything where there is someone else's negligence and you're the one who's forced to suffer. You need to have somebody who is on your side to make sure things stay fair. And that's what John Daspit's going to do. He is going to passionately pursue justice for the injured. And that's in not just the city of Houston, but all the surrounding areas and including throughout the state, where he has 10 offices, 70 different lawyers. Let them fight for you. DaspitLaw.com, DaspitLaw.com.
Get low when the whistle goes. Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. Hey. Hey, get your numbers up. I had to get my numbers up. Now I got it like they gave it to me, but I took it, they ain't give it to me. She really do it.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
7:46 here on The Bench. Lance Erline, Del Ole with you. 713-780-3776. Anything stand out from what Mike Tannenbaum said?
No, we were talking during the break about having to swallow what I actually want to say. You remember when you set off a rebuild with the Dolphins because of those couple years that didn't go well? That's all I could think. And RJ put up a graphic of him in a Miami Dolphins press conference. And I'm like, those weren't great times. Those weren't great. But I guess if you love Bryce Young, if you respect Mike Tannenbaum, the fact that he loves Bryce Young should make you feel a little bit better.
I think there's going to be a lot of, because you're a quarterback, look, quarterbacks take hits on throws that are completions. So that's the big concern, is they're going to get hit more than a wide receiver will in most games. You know, can they withstand a big 300-pounder falling on them, things like that? Well, just think of it this way. If I'm 100 pounds heavier than one of my kids and I fell on their leg, that probably would not feel good to them.
It's an interesting analogy you're drawing there.
Well, I mean, Bryce Young is going to be 130 pounds lighter than the guys who are falling on his legs, 140 pounds lighter.
And the legs would be the least of your concerns.
And
if you look at what happened, you mentioned guys
falling on guys. You'll take a 15-yard penalty to get Bryce Young out of a game. That's how football is. I'm sorry. I mean, I mean to pull back the curtain here.
That's ugly, Lance.
It sounds ugly, but that happens.
You talked about guys getting hit even when they make completions. The two documented concussions for Tua, and then even if you think about what people think happened in the Buffalo game, two out of three, he completed a pass. So he still got hit. And these were the Matt Milano one in Buffalo that wasn't.
How many were illegal? How many got penalized?
I don't think any, because he still had the ball in his hand on all of them. The one in Cincinnati, the whiplash effect, him getting slammed backwards, that wasn't a penalty. It was a sack, and, you know, the Dolphins recovered. I think the Matt Milano one wasn't even considered past the personal foul penalty, but I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think it was just a shove, and then his head hit the back, and, you know, the Dolphins talked about his back locking up, whatever you think happened there. So quarterbacks get hit when they complete passes, when they're in the pocket, there's always an opportunity. We saw Jimmy Garoppolo earlier in the year against the Dolphins. He lost his season because of an ankle injury or
a
foot injury.
Can I make a suggestion?
So you never know. And if Bryce Young is smaller and it's going to lead to injuries, it's a legitimate concern.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Something that might help health-wise. No one's talked about this. What about neck rolls? What about giving quarterbacks neck rolls and also those big things that come up on the back, like those shields that will hold the helmet in place? Why don't we start dressing them like linebackers from the 90s and 80s?
Like Brian Cox?
Like a Penn State linebacker or Brian Cox, yeah.
Well,
why don't we start dressing our quarterbacks up like that?
We don't even dress up our linebackers like that anymore.
No, they want to be faster. They want smaller pads. I'm calling for huge pads. I want everyone to look like, you know, everyone to look like Christian Okoye.
Hmm.
Look at Christian Okoye. all the pads. He had the neck roll. Like, he had everything going on. I want my quarterbacks to look like Christian Okoye, but only maybe 195-pound Christian Okoyes.
Well, what we've seen is helmet technology has improved. Kenny Pickett switched his helmet because it was one that allegedly lessens the impact of your head hitting the back of your head hitting the ground. That's where one of his latest concussion came from before he switched his helmet. So I think we're just going to stick with helmets for now.
Okay.
As opposed to...
But think about neck rolls. And braces on the very back. Like, you know, look at the linebackers. Look at Brian Cox, the great example, because he had one of those things, whatever those things
that
are.
Extended thing.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it's because the way he tackled, maybe the neck.
Possibly.
Maybe it had a stinger or something like that. D'Amico Ryans talked about collaboration. So he's going to have to be a collaborator with Nick Caserio. And what happens is the coach says, these are the styles I run. This is the offense I run, the defense I run. And they talk to general managers. And typically what will happen will be a general manager and his staff will go find players that fit the mold of what he is looking for. Now, you know, some coaches get more involved in the evaluation process. Every coach evaluates the players. It's just a matter of where the general manager slots the evaluations of the coaching staff. My guess is D'Amico Ryans is going to have quite a bit of say-so in where the players get slotted. I would think he's the guy that has all the leverage and all the power coming in. He's got a lot more time left on his contract than Nick Caserio has. But collaborating with your general manager is a huge deal. O'Brien and Rick Smith did not have a great relationship, so the collaboration there was a little bit bumpy. And D'Amico Ryans had a story about collaborating in San Francisco that should make people feel a little bit better.
When I think about this position here and I think about building a team, it's me being in the draft room for my first year as a defensive coordinator. Right? And I'm looking there, and I'm a former linebacker, and, man, I want to get some backers. This is my first draft. I want to draft some linebackers. And, you know, we're at a point in the draft, sixth round, where we're there, and there are, like, two linebackers there on the draft board for us. And I'm like, I really want a linebacker, but I also know, right, that is this the right thing for our team? Right, so we look at a highlight tape, it's pop this running back up, and it's Elijah Mitchell. Right, they pop his highlight tape up, and I'm watching him, and I'm like, wow, man, this dude is fast. This dude can help us. Right, I know I want the linebacker selfishly, but I see a running back who can truly help our team. And so I say, Kyle, let's take the running back. Right, and that's what I've learned about being in this position. It's not about egos. It's not about being selfish. It's about doing the right things for the team. And we do the right things for the team, that's how you build a successful program.
And actually, a lot of times, a defensive coach will trend towards picking offensive players earlier in a draft because they feel like they know what talent looks like and that they can find diamonds in the rough or find guys who are underrated or undervalued in the middle rounds of, you know, rounds 3 through 5. A lot of times, they look at it that way. So that's another thing that we could see here in Houston. And look, I would just say, we know that the Texans need a wide receiver. We know they need a quarterback. They could use a tight end. They could use an interior offensive lineman. But they got to have defensive line help, man. They got to have rush. They got to have an interior defender. Their rush defense was absolutely terrible. They could use a Mike linebacker. They still need at least another cornerback. So there's a long way to go. D'Amico Ryan's probably going to be looking for the 6-foot-plus line cornerbacks with long arms who can play press man, or we'll see, but he may run some cover three stuff, which is basically you're in a shell. You are the cornerbacks a lot of times will be inside shuffle, and what they're doing is they're basically taking away the deep throw. They're making you play underneath, and that's become all the rage in the NFL. They are trying to force as many quarterbacks as possible to take what is there, and to disguise some of the coverages underneath. And it's causing problems for these young quarterbacks who are coming out of college, not great field readers. They're having a hard time reading where to go because if you watch enough college football, you see it's pretty standard, Dell. There's a lot of just one-on-ones. You spread it out, and you take one-on-one shots down the deep sideline to let your wide receiver try to make plays. When that's gone, you find out who the real quarterbacks are when they can't just make those, you know, one-on-one shots down the field where you just need to throw further than the cornerback so he doesn't intercept it. That's a whole different game in the NFL. They don't just give you those.
Yeah, and it's interesting you bring that up because I'm a sicko. So I was watching the highlights of Clemson versus Tennessee a couple days ago, maybe a week,
from this year?
A week or so ago, yeah. It wasn't Hidden Hooker. It was Joe Mixon. Not Joe Mixon. What's his name?
Jalen Hyatt.
No, the Michigan transfer quarterback who's now at Tennessee. He's a big dude. I got to remember his name.
Oh, okay.
But all Tennessee really does spread you out, isolate your corners, and throw slants and go balls. And because you're not subbing your corners every couple plays, they'll just run a fresh wide receiver out there and test them again and exhaust them.
They'll move Jalen Hyatt around trying to, like, what Heupel. The reason Alabama got smoked so bad is Alabama would not back off of their coverage scheme, and they kept running Jalen Hyatt from outside, and then they'd run him into the slot, and then he had to go up against number two, or they'd run him wide, and they kept matching him up against number two, and number two is not fast enough, and they just got smoked, and they didn't change anything. Kirby Smart went shell coverage where he was backed way off. He had Chris Smith, the safety, was just way – they had a single high safety, and they did it totally different. They said, you can throw underneath all you want.
We'll just come
but
up
it was weird
you.
Because when I watched Jalen Hyatt, I realized, oh, my gosh, Hendon Hooker only reads one side of the field. It's a very simple
That's
offense.
Why I referenced him, because Hendon Hooker, an older player, but played in an offense where they didn't ask him to do very much. And
good stats,
yeah,
too.
And Joe Milton's the quarterback I was thinking of, the Michigan transfer who played in the Orange Bowl. But Hendon Hooker is a guy who – did that. All he did was see one side of the field, and if you see the slant or the guy open deep, throw it. If not, maybe you're taking off and running. So when people start to evaluate him, and I'm sure that process already started, you're going to get an older player who you're not sure can read in the middle of the field. Those are going to be knocks on him. He's going to have to prove people wrong.
Yeah. And it's a big deal, like learning to – when everything is – when you've got Jalen Hyatt running around, and Jalen Hyatt, make no mistake, from Tennessee – this is Will Fuller all over again. But when I say that, it leaves a bad connotation. But I mean Will Fuller as in has speed that is absolutely unguardable. And he's light. Like he's 178, 180, somewhere in that neighborhood. Maybe a little bit, maybe 188. I can't remember. But he's a skinny guy. But he's a lot like Will Fuller or DeSean Jackson. Just I think he has just phenomenal game-breaking speed. And for me, he's the best wide receiver in this draft. It's not Jordan Addison. It's not Quentin Johnston. I think it's Jalen Hyatt, but he's a specific type of wide receiver. So exactly what we saw from Will Fuller, where you get a lot of easy throws underneath because people are afraid of your speed. You're going to get a lot of slants, as you mentioned. Those slants, a lot of them were going to Jalen Fuller. Or deep balls, if you happen to get the right coverage. I would not mind seeing Jalen Hyatt as my number 12 pick. I would not mind it at all, because then you got Nico as the big guy with tough catches underneath. Then you got a speed guy who can back off safeties. I will say Bryce Young struggled throwing deep balls this year. He did not push it out there far enough. And that is one. He had a lot of underthrows when I watched the tape. That is a little bit of a concern if you have a guy like Hyatt, because Hyatt's got a chance to be in the 4.2s fast. Like, he's that fast.
On the other side, I got a question about Texans team building and their approach this offseason beyond the draft. And we talk about a lot about the draft because they have so much capital. But with DeMeco in his first year, will they be – well, I'll ask the question on the other side.
Okay, 7:58 right here. Look, we're actually kind of on time. Well, Jeff Van Gundy's going to join us today, Thursday, so we have to be on time for JVG too. But we'll break it right here. If you guys want to jump in on anything, feel free to – shoot us a phone call, and we'll throw it in there. And it can be about anything. You know how we are. 713-780-3776. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.